Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. On Brother Milton Howard's pulpit in Ball, Louisiana, he got a little piece of paper about that big, taped down here at the bottom, and it says K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. Brother Walter Groover told me last time I was in Mexico, he always tells the preachers, I told you this. He said, preach to the heart. I was talking to Cody Groover the other day, and he made this statement, and I don't know if Cody will ever realize what the Lord was pleased to say to me in this little phrase right here. He said, Lord, help us to get out of the way. I thought about that, and I pray that that be so. Let me tell you what I heard in that. Lord, help us to get out of the way. Don't try to be clever when you preach. Don't ever try to be original. Preach the Word of God. Preach what God has to say. And don't try to make it say something that it doesn't, but never omit what it does say. Almighty God is going to bless His Word. Not my, you know, theatrical ability, not my, you know. It is not the speaker. It's the Word of God. That's it. Get out of the way. I pray that God help me this morning get out of the way. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, I do want to be simple. I want to be as simple as I can be. I don't want to get in the way. I truly desire to be a voice. A voice. All I want to do is repeat what God has to say and set forth the meaning of this scripture. I know that it's always concerning Christ. I know it is. So I know this. You flee to Him. You be looking for the gospel. You look for the gospel in this passage and you're looking right. Because the Lord said, these scriptures are they that testify of me. But I do know this. In the Proverbs, there's always a practical and a spiritual significance. Always. Always. Let's see that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Now practically. I'm just talking now. Just practically. Death and life. Evil or comfort. Putting down or lifting up. Or in the power of the tongue. I've heard this say. I've heard my mama say this all my life. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. Just flip back to Proverbs 15:1. This is exactly what is being set forth right here. This is exactly it. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. It's not what you say. It's how you said it. You know, somebody walks in, they're late or something like that, and you can say, hey, where you been? Or you can say, where in the world, where have you been? You know, one of them was a question, the other one was an accusation. It's not what I said, it's how I said it. A soft answer. I'm a sarcastic, angry attitude is repulsive. It just grates. But a kind, courteous, sensitive word is always appreciated and it's always received profitably. Therefore, look at Colossians 4:6. Always. Next time I open my mouth, I hope I can remember this. Colossians 4:6. Let your speech, now listen to this, be often. Is that what it said? Always. Always. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, mercy, kindness, graciousness, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. A kind answer, kind word, kind, just. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, one way or the other, shall eat the fruit thereof. We're always drawn to kindness and peace and sensitivity, but nobody wants to be around a sarcastic, just troublemaker. I just don't want to be around them. I just told my kids, y'all just speak kindly to each other. And then I'm thinking, I better listen to what I'm saying, you know. Practically, whatsoever a man soweth, that's what he's going to reap. I'm telling you, you come at somebody hard and sarcastic, but get ready. It's coming right back at you. I'm telling you. You know that. So number one, there's a practical. Now, okay, I've got that out of the way. It's true, but it's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. I mean, we ought to walk kindly and, you know, sensitively, but that's not the gospel. Well, concerning spiritual matters then, you know. Concerning the eternal. Here's what scripture. Death and life. Eternal death or eternal life are in the power, or is manifested. The power there means the hand. It's manifested in the speaking, the tongue. And they that love it, death or life, shall eat the fruit thereof. Now, there's a way that God has set forth life in Christ. There is a way that God speaks. God speaks. The Lord speaks. He speaks today. He's speaking this morning through the preaching of the gospel of God's grace in Christ. Now that's how He speaks. God speaks. Somebody say, I've never heard the voice of the Lord. Well, a believer's never heard, not in this life, I can tell you that. I mean, I do know when the Lord walked upon this earth, they heard Him speak. There were some that heard Him speak from heaven. Peter, James, and John, John said, I heard Him. I heard Him speak. Peter said, I was there. I heard a voice from heaven. But how does the Lord speak today? He speaks through His Word in the preaching of the gospel, as that gospel is blessed by the Holy Spirit to the heart of God's people. They hear. You hear me because you have an ear. And all of the workings inside, and it works, and I come out with a word, and it's amazing. The moment it comes out of my mouth, you've heard it, processed it, understood it, and you're understanding words just right in a, you know, it's just, you know, it's a marvelous thing. Hearing, understanding, perceiving, you hear it. But there is a hearing ear that is of the heart, the new man, a hearing ear. And life is manifested. God's voice is manifested. The gospel. In the gospel. What is the gospel? It is the declaration. It's not an invitation. The gospel is not an invitation. It's not an invitation. It is the declaration. We declare unto you. It is the declaration of Almighty God's purpose and will to everlastingly show mercy to a people that He has chosen to show mercy to in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the accomplishment of that salvation and redemption in the Redeemer Himself. The sure accomplishment of it. It's the gospel. It's the good news of mercy and compassion to whomsoever God is pleased to show. The gospel of God's grace. It declares the Father to be the electing God, the Son to be the Redeemer of God's elect, and the Holy Spirit who effectually calls and seals and teaches and guides and comforts God's people. It's the message that is of the surety of salvation to all that God Almighty has everlastingly loved. It's the gospel. And life is set forth, the surety of life, in the preaching of the gospel. And it sets forth the death of all who refuse it. I'm telling you, Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul said, I've read this before, I'll read it to you again, Romans 1, 16 and 17, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. God grants faith to believe that salvation, righteousness, is by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not my faith that saves. His faith answers for me. His obedience answers for me. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this gospel, it must be preached. It must be heard. It must be believed for there to be salvation. God ordered it and ordained it that way. Now let me tell you what happens here. God Almighty has chosen to show mercy to whomsoever He will. God shows mercy. And I'll tell you another thing too. Concerning the gospel, concerning salvation, do you have to believe in order to be saved? The answer is yes. Yes. He that believeth. He that believeth not shall not see light. He that believeth. But let me ask you this. How did you believe? God Almighty sent the gospel. God Almighty crosses the path of His people with the gospel. And then God Almighty, when it pleases Him in the fullness of time, He gives a new heart. He gives a heart to believe. He makes His people willing, Psalm 110:3, willing in the day of His power. And He gives faith. He grants faith. And by faith, by the grace of faith, they believe. But they believe because they were alive. They didn't believe in order to be saved. So do they have to believe? Yes. But God grants faith, and by faith we believe. We're saved by grace. We know it and believe it by faith. So what God demands, belief, God gives. God gives that. It's not of work. We didn't do anything. You know, nobody has anything to boast in. We believe God. Why? Because He gave us a heart to believe. Because He gave us life. He made us willing in the day of His power. Romans 10. Romans 10, 13 to 17. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, but how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How are they going to hear? Well, Ezekiel 36 says, I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. And I'm going to write my law, my word. I'm going to write my word on your heart. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. And God's people believe. They truly believe because the Lord gave them life first. God does something for them first that they could not do for themselves. The gospel declares life. Life and death and life are in the power of the tongue. The gospel declares life to all who by grace believe it. And remember, that belief truly was yours, but you weren't the source of it. You did do it. You did believe. You did believe. But it didn't come from you. God gave you a new heart. And He declares damnation to all that reject it. John 3:36. The Lord preaching here. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, listen to this. Someone say, well, now, I believe on the Son, but I just don't believe it the way you say that I believe on Him. You cannot separate believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and not believing the gospel. You can't say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't believe the report that you're giving. John 12:37-38 says this. John 12:37-38. Though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? Our gospel. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has believed the gospel that we preached? Well, you say, well, the gospel. What do you mean? Paul answered this beautiful, beautiful, under the inspiration of God's Spirit. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. The gospel is concerning God's purpose in Christ to save His people. To say that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to say, I don't believe the gospel as you're declaring it, is contradictory. You cannot separate believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and separate Him from the preaching of the gospel of God's sovereign grace. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. To believe Christ is to believe the gospel. Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, said this in verse 8, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you. Let him be accursed. So, does a man believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? He does if he believes the gospel. The gospel of God's grace, sovereign grace. It comes right down to this. Who gets the glory? Who gets the glory? Who's going to get the honor? Where does salvation start? Did it start with God offering it to me and I have to make it effectual? That's not the gospel. Salvation's of the Lord, start to finish. Okay? So death and life are practically in the power of the tongue, just humanly speaking. But secondly, death and life is in the power of the tongue concerning the preaching of the gospel. Death and life, either the preaching of it or the failure to do so. Thirdly, death and life are manifest. Death or life is manifest in the power of the tongue concerning the confession of a man or a woman. What they confess. This is what I mean. Matthew 12:37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The scripture declares in Matthew 12:35, a good man, one made so by the grace of God. I know that there's none good, no, not one. But one that God Almighty has called out of darkness. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. Words, now listen. Words are going to come into account in the day of judgment. What a man says he believes. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I know that. I know that. But I can tell you this, according to that which the Lord has taught me concerning myself, I know what I am in me. In me, I'm wicked. I'm wretched. That's what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. But let me tell you what the Scriptures declares for a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. One that God Almighty has taken and made His Son sin. Made Him sin. You know what the difference in sin, sin and sins are? You know what the difference is? One of them is what I do. Sins. The other one's what I am. So if you want to ask, what is a man born in Adam? Here's what he is. Sin. Sin. You sum him up. I'm going to just sum him up right here. There's nothing about him that's good. Everything about him is evil. Everything about him. There's none good. No, not one. All of his righteousnesses, what is it? Filthy rag. That's all you can say about him. What is a man born in Adam? He's sin. What was Christ made? Sin. Made what we are. I'm so far over my head in my ability to grasp that Almighty God made His Son sin. Now, if you think I'm off beat on this, you go. I tell you what. Turn to 2 Corinthians. We've read it before. Look at it again. You tell me what it says. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He, that is the Father, hath made Him. Now, to be is in italics. So you just read it like this without the italicized words. For He hath made Him sin for us. For who? Well, for the ones for whom Christ died. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. He hath made him sin for us, who knew no sin. Not the Lord. He's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And here's the reason that he made him sin. That sin, what we are, and all the manifestations of it, comes back to what we are. He made him sin for us who knew no sin, and dealt with him in absolute justice. God cannot die, but I'll tell you this. The God-man, the man, Christ Jesus, did. That's another great mystery. God shed his blood. That's what Scripture said. God Almighty, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, died. Under the judgment of God, and by one sacrifice for sin, one sacrifice, he hath perfected forever them that are set apart by God, sanctified. Now here's what happened. God made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We're going to have to be righteous. We're going to have to be obedient. We're going to have to be holy. We're going to have our sin taken care of. And Christ did it both. Did both of them. He finished it both. He made him sin and dealt with him on our behalf, on the behalf of his people, the Redeemer. And he redeemed. What does redemption mean? To pay the price. Pay the price. What's it going to cost? It's going to cost your life. And he died under the judgment of God, and now he robes his people in his righteousness in the faith of Christ. Robed in him, robed in his obedience. I'm telling you, a believer believes that. I have nothing in myself to boast. All of my righteousness that I can come up with, filthy rags. Whatever you claim, whatever I claim to have done in order to be reconciled to God is filthiness. Filthiness. It's not righteous. It's self-righteousness. And a believer is taught that by the Spirit of God, and he confesses it. Life and death in the power of the tongue. Out of thy words is going to manifest that you've been justified. Not that my words justifies me, but out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. So life and death in the power of the tongue. And then lastly, life and death is in the power of the tongue of the judge. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say, unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Life. 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 Life that he ordained. Life that he procured. Life that he applied. Life that he kept. Life. Life is in his tongue. And death is in his tongue. Verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Practically, in the preaching of the gospel, in the confessing, in the manifestation, out of the abundance or the lack thereof, of a heart that knows him or doesn't know him. And then fourthly, in the word of the judge. And they that love it, either death, because they will not flee from the wrath to come. They just, I'm not going to have that man rule over me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He already does. You may not bow right now, but I'm telling you, you will. You may not confess that you believe this gospel right now, but you will. In that day, be too late. Be too late. You remember the foolish and the wise virgins? Those wise virgins, they made preparation. Picture of those that God showed mercy to. Those foolish virgins, they didn't make preparation, all spiritually speaking. The bridegroom came, and all of a sudden, foolish virgins realize, we're in trouble. And they start coming and say, we've changed our mind. The door is shut. When God shut the door in the ark, and the earth opened up, and the water billowed out, and heavens opened up, and rain came. Mountains were being covered, and people, you know, and Noah, God had shut the door. May the Lord bless these words to the salvation of His people, the comfort of His people. I pray God have mercy today. Call His own unto Himself. Comfort us by these words for Christ's sake.